Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Phosphate. That's where we have longer-term concerns, in my mind.
Deputy Secretary of Ag, Stephen Vaden.
We have an incredibly concentrated market in phosphate fertilizer, with just two companies controlling the vast majority of the market share. And one of those two companies has repeatedly come out, despite being the beneficiary of trade remedies, and saying, I'm going to cut production, I'm going to curtail production. Or more recently, if you look at what they've actually done, but don't talk about that much on their earnings calls, they're doing a record export pace to Brazil. So in other words, at a time when American farmers are wondering, am I going to have the fertilizer that I need for the fall application season? One of our largest phosphate fertilizer companies is shipping as much as it can out of the country to American farmers' chief competitor, Brazil.
Now, the White House has said that President Trump has temporarily suspended certain duties on Moroccan phosphate imports. They say the action intended to improve availability, increase competition, and support fertilizer supplies ahead of future application seasons. USDA estimates the move could lower phosphate fertilizer prices by about 22%, saving producers roughly $1.82 billion annually. Department says more than 100,000 farms across 97 million planted acres could benefit. Wheat, soybean, sorghum, general farm groups all welcoming the decision, saying fertilizer remains one of the largest production expenses. Several groups pushing for relief from countervailing duties imposed on Moroccan phosphate products. Now, the market effect not guaranteed. Some analysts are noting U.S. phosphate prices are already competitive globally, meaning actual import flows and falling prices will determine the real farm-level impact. House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson introducing legislation aimed at making the H-2A Farm Worker Program more usable for year-round ag. Securing Ag's Workforce Act would change program eligibility from temporary or seasonal work to temporary work with contracts lasting less than 350 days. Could provide clear access for dairy, livestock, aquaculture, forestry, controlled environment ag, equine operations, and some meat and poultry processing. Supporters say current rules no longer fit farms that need labor beyond the narrow harvest season. Rural food access, not only a grocery store problem. New USDA-supported study finds that transportation and distribution gaps determine whether fresh food reaches rural shelves. Ag Marketing Service summary compares food distribution challenges in urban New Jersey and rural Wisconsin. Researchers found rural grocers face longer freight routes, weaker wholesale access, and higher costs tied to distance and low population density. And new farm technology moving faster, but tighter margins forcing producers to ask which tools can actually pay for themselves. Ag America Lending says robotics, autonomous equipment, artificial intelligence, and precision ag moving from research into real-world farm applications. It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
with Agriculture Today. Here's Tony St. James.
Elements that are working towards the bearish side of the live cattle futures camp.
Bob Mauer is with Manduca Trading in Chicago.
You got the box beef weakness. That's a bit of a cautionary flag. Caution, or, you know, the choice box beef fell sharply to around 391, with select also lower. So that's not a good sign in terms of, you know, pricing power on the wholesale side of the equation there. And then we've also got the weights that remain elevated, and, you know, I think really those are the primary elements that are working against the market. And zooming out a bit and just looking at the August live cattle futures chart action, really we've got a resistance up there at 250. The market's had several attempts to try to break through the 250. It hasn't necessarily made it quite through yet. And then on the bottom side, you know, I would put support somewhere around 235 to maybe 237. So basically a range that we've been in for quite some time, and going back, you know, about 2 months or so, two and a half months. So a well-established range and a bit of balance in that marketplace that hasn't really found some kind of major catalyst to break out of yet.
Alex Gertis is with Producers Livestock.
Cash is the leader. We have to continue watching the cash market here on the fat side of things to see if this market continues to trail lower. That's what led mostly to this sell-off today. We would say just last week expectations for cash in the north, a lot of guys were asking 262 to 265 on the live side. Really, cash to trade came down to 260. So you could call it pretty disappointing in a lot of people's eyes. And the futures market kind of fell with that. So you had the cash not working in your favor, and then traders were also watching this beef market. I think last week on Tuesday, we ran choice up to a little bit over $4, but that held for about 12 hours. And then it started trailing lower, where choice closed today actually at $392.56. So we're almost $8 off of where we hit that $4 mark last week. So that's not looking too bullish either on in traders' eyes that this beef market's going to hold together. When we start seeing pressure on the box beef, so that's the wholesale cuts being taken from the packer to the retailer. And so that is continually, when we see that price being pressured down and we're not seeing the value in those boxes be as high as where we think they should be, that is continuing to put pressure on the packers. So the people buying the market ready fat cattle and harvesting those to sell that box beef product. And so continually, for the last couple of months, you just haven't seen that box beef market rally to where a lot of analysts thought they could go. And that may be consumer demand changing, people not wanting to spend as much on beef, changing to different products, changing from middle cuts like ribeyes down to maybe ground beef products to save money that way. But that has put a lot of pressure over the packers, and their margins are continuing to be anywhere from $100 to $200 a head loss here over the last year. The retailers' margins have been very, very well here over the last couple of years. They've done very well for themselves. Consumer demand here really since the end of COVID to now has been off the charts. We've set almost a new demand line or a consumer demand like we've never seen before. Part of that is we learned how to cook beef at home. Part of that is we really enjoy the flavor of beef, and the producers in the industry have really taken the product to a new level, and we've marketed it the right way. The retailers here over the last 6 months have started backing down their margins a little bit. You're not seeing it displayed as much in the stores, and it is starting to become a loss leader in some stores because consumers cannot keep up with the price of it a little bit.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express water wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express water wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express water wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Turns out we can't have food security if we don't have fertilizer security, and we can't have fertilizer security unless we're winning the energy battles in the world because of where the inputs come from.
Doug Burgum is Secretary of Interior.
We've got direction from the president, which is we've got to unlock critical minerals. We're in a position where our supply chains are too dependent on others, and particularly China, who are controlling not just the minerals but the processing. But to unlock that, the Bureau of Land Management, which is part of the Department of Interior, one of the things we've done is we've executed a significant pivot from the prior administration, where there was literally no mining permitting going on across the whole range of things. It didn't matter whether it was copper, aluminum, silver, critical minerals, but also for potash and for phosphate, and we've authorized 100 critical mineral permitting projects in the last 15 months under the Trump administration. Among those, four were major fertilizer-related projects across 130,000 acres that have been opened up in Utah, Idaho, and Nevada, again, unlocking phosphate and potash, the core inputs. But we didn't just approve those. We also sped them up. We've taken permitting that took years, moved it down to literally weeks and months. Two of these projects, of the four fertilizer ones, we moved through what's called FAST 41, which is federal permitting reform law designed to speed up improvements for major infrastructure projects. And we can do that. We can go faster and we can protect the environment. There's no trade-off there. We're a country that can do great things quickly. And by cutting red tape and bringing certainty to the capital that flows into these projects, we get more capital, more job creation. We get, communities know farmers can depend on the fact that we've got domestic fertilizer production. And so I think everybody up here knows that we do have a permanent problem. I do want to say thanks to the congressional leaders that are here for everything they're doing, working on fixing that. And of course, as we know that there's an urgency to this right now, we are moving at Trump speed. And Trump speed isn't just fast, it's smart, it's strategic, it's the right direction, and it's powered by the teamwork that you're seeing here. And we are strengthening this goal, to strengthen these domestic supply chains so that American farmers and American consumers aren't reliant on foreign sources. One of the other areas that, of course, for fertilizer, nitrogen's key, but whether it's urea, whether it's ammonia, anhydrous ammonia, it all comes primarily from natural gas. And the United States, under President Trump, we've gone from the 15 months ago, there was a ban on exporting LNG from this country. Now we're the world's largest exporter of LNG. We're the world's largest producer of natural gas. We're the world's largest producer of oil, which, of course, helps us drive products down for refined products. I want to dispel something. People said, why are you exporting all this natural gas? That must be part of what's raising the price here at home. And the answer is no. At the Henry Hub, where the price of natural gas, it was $3 a unit at the Henry Hub when the recent conflict started about 6 weeks ago with Iran. During the middle of that conflict, it was $2.70. For a while, it was $2.60. The price of natural gas went down. There's places in the Permian where natural gas is negative. We have so much of it, and we don't have enough pipeline capacity. There's places you can go in the Permian, and people will pay you to take their natural gas. And that of course, is one of the major inputs for the ammonia side of things. So what we're doing here with energy dominance is also going to help over the long term when we start getting more the production facilities that Howard and Brooke were talking about, bringing those online. That's going to make a huge difference. Energy dominance is the key pillar of fertilizer security. It's also then fertilizer is key to food security. Food security is national security.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I'm Kelsey Graber. I've been in the ag industry, the grain marketing industry, for about 15 years now. I started my experience with ADM in various places across the Midwest. I eventually got into selling food grade oils, and that is what got me interested in the food market. So at Clarkson Grain, we really focus on non-GMO and organic corn and soybeans. We bring those into our plants, our corn plant in Cerro Gordo, Illinois, our soybean plant in Mattoon, Illinois, and we clean those and we package them and we ship them to food companies. So a lot of our corn stays here domestically, goes into tortilla and distilling, and a lot of our soybeans go to Japan, Southeast Asia, to go into tofu and soy milk and soy sauce. So we will hop into different options for the premium market. So I want to start with the low-hanging fruit. Where is the easiest to get started? It offers some premium, but not the highest premium. So I would say starting with a non-GMO corn or soybean. So that's just going to be buying non-GMO yellow corn seed, non-GMO white corn seed, or regular non-variety specific soybeans. And the good thing about those is those are typically, the seed is typically cheaper. We have some farmers that will buy non-GMO yellow corn. They'll try and sell us what they can, and the rest of it they take to an ethanol plant. And they're still getting some return on that because they're not paying as much for a seed with different traits, a traded seed. Also, white corn is pretty easy to enter. You can grow it conventionally, or you can grow it non-GMO. Pioneer is mostly the seed company that can offer non-GMO white corn. But conventional white corn is just in demand, is just as in demand as non-GMO is. And then waxy corn. And when I say waxy corn, that's just a different, makeup. So it's got more of a floury texture to it. A lot of people will use that in cereal manufacturing, or even a lot of people use it in roasting to make a corn nut type of product. But these are kind of the easiest. You don't really have to change a lot of your agronomic practices. Premiums for these are usually somewhere between a 40 cent over the board of trade to somewhere between $1 and $2 over the board of trade. And I'll show that in the next slide. Something that has a little more requirements but a better premium advantage would be identity preserved corn and soybeans. These are hybrid specific. So we have customers that require a certain hybrid on corn or a certain hybrid on soybeans based on how it performs in their food. So for instance, we have a tortilla customer that likes a Pioneer hybrid. So we buy quite a bit of that, and we pay probably a 15 cent premium over where we would non-GMO white corn, regular. And then when we get into the identity preserved soybeans, those get into the real nitty gritty. And there's, I think we handle 12 different varieties, and each has a different premium. And then the highest standard is going to be organic corn and soybeans. That's something that if you want to dip your toe in the water, you know, we would suggest you can. It takes 3 years to get into transition once you transition into those, but you can grow non-GMO on your way there. There's just a lot of limitations on what you can use as far as pesticides and things of that nature. Currently, when we started this crop year in harvest of 2025, organic yellow feed corn was somewhere between $6.50 and $7 a bushel. And we're currently in the $13 to $15 a bushel range right now. Yields were not great here in the United States. Sometimes the United States will import organics, and the yields in Turkey and South America were not great as well. And it also takes about 90 days to get a shipment of organic feed corn here. So it's really put a hurting on the market and really increased premiums into next year.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Study commissioned by the Agricultural Coalition for USMCA showed the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement and its predecessor, the North American Free Trade Agreement, helped to lower U.S. food prices over the past 20 years and could keep groceries affordable going forward. As you know, the three USMCA signatories are in the process of reviewing the trade deal and by July 1 must agree to renew it for 16 years, terminate it, or let it continue with annual reviews until 2036. Now, President Trump has indicated the U.S. won't renew the agreement. The U.S. and Mexico this week held bilateral negotiations on agriculture issues. The two countries will meet again in July in Mexico City. The study I mentioned was conducted by Purdue University, and it found tariff reductions under NAFTA, then USMCA, generated an estimated savings of about $700 a year in today's dollars, or 7% of total food expenditures per household. It also showed how expanded North American trade improved the efficiency and stability of agricultural supply chains and benefited U.S. ag sectors that rely on exports, such as pork, and experienced lower domestic prices as trade barriers were lifted. NPPC, as you may imagine, strongly supports renewal of USMCA, which has facilitated and streamlined the flow of commerce throughout North America. In 2025, for example, nearly $2.9 billion worth of U.S. pork was exported to Mexico, and almost $759 million was sent to Canada, making those countries the number one and number four markets for U.S. pork. All right, speaking of U.S. pork exports, in the first quarter of this year, those exports were up by 4% in volume and value compared to the same period in 2025. That's according to data from the USDA and the U.S. Department of Commerce and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. For the January through April timeframe, the United States shipped 1.04 million metric tons of pork, valued at nearly $2.9 billion to foreign destinations. For April, pork exports increased by 8% in volume at almost 20,000 metric tons and 6% in value at more than $718 million. Those numbers were from continued growth in exports to number one market Mexico and to Central America, the Dominican Republic, Japan, the Philippines, Taiwan, and even shipments to Canada and China, which have trended down in recent years, were up significantly from the same period last year. The 2026 first quarter exports have been robust, which is critical given U.S. pork producers' dependence on exports. And lastly, hats off to the staff in Iowa as an outbreak of pseudo-rabies on an Iowa hog farm has been contained, with tests of surrounding hog farms showing no virus. That's according to the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship. Pseudo-rabies, which can affect swine, cattle, sheep, goats, cats, dogs, and some wildlife, is a highly contagious disease that was eliminated from the U.S. commercial hog herd in 2004. Keep in mind, PRV does not, I repeat, not, pose a risk to pork safety. The disease was actually confirmed on a small commercial swine operation in central Iowa on April 30th by the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. It was traced back to five affected boars transported to the state from an outdoor facility in Texas, and those animals likely contracted the disease from feral swine. Chad Smith, Washington.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The way price discovery generally works is you have multiple competitors in the marketplace, and it's through their competition we find what the appropriate market price is, and consumers generally rely on that.
Deputy Secretary of Ag, Stephen Vaden.
As you know, when it comes to several of these fertilizer markets, we have at times two companies that control 90% of the market. And so you have a question as to when there are only two companies competing, do we really know what the market price is? Because do they have the incentive to go against one another as if we had five players, six players, more players? So I think an important piece of that is what the Department of Justice, joined with the Federal Trade Commission, are currently doing. It's public knowledge that they are investigating the fertilizer market. They are issuing questions to these companies. They're examining their business practices. And we need farmers to share with us the information that they have about what they are hearing from their own fertilizer dealers. Because I know, for example, when I go back home to Northwest Tennessee, they'll tell me about phone calls they got that predate the conflict in the Middle East. And those phone calls all say the same thing. If you buy your fertilizer now, it's X. If you go down the road 30, 45, 60 days, it'll be Y. Y is always greater than X, and on. And that's very interesting for a commodity that's supposed to be publicly traded. And if we're talking about other commodities like, for example, oil or other widely known commodities, you wouldn't be able to say that with such assurance. And yet our farmers have been dealing with that for years. So that is where the President's executive order asking the Department of Justice, asking the Federal Trade Commission to look into these markets take place. But it's also where the initiatives that each of these cabinet members have announced have come into play, because by getting more people in the market and more supply, we will have more competition, which will give us more faith that the price that farmers are paying is indeed the correct market price.
Kansas Senator Roger Marshall.
Now it's time for Congress to do our job. We're dropping a bill today. It's called the Lowering of Input Costs for American Farmers Act. What this bill does, it eliminates the countervailing duties on Morocco's phosphate. This would lower the cost of phosphate fertilizer over 20%. Now, those numbers are from Texas A&M, so I hope you'll still accept
that. That must be perfect.
So it'll lower the cost of phosphate fertilizer by over 20%. That's $150 a ton, and that's real money when it comes to a Kansas farmer. But we need more than that, and we've also introduced a package of fertilizer bills as well. This didn't start yesterday. To what the Secretary was starting about, this really started when Russia invaded Ukraine. That was 2022, and what we saw were fertilizer prices jump up 50%. And it's just not nitrogen fertilizer, though about 20-25% of the nitrogen fertilizers are still made in Russia, traverse the Black Sea, but Belarus still accounts for about 35% of the potash world exports as well. So that war really started all this, and that's when we started working hard on fertilizer. We have a package of five bills. They're bipartisan bills, and they work together to lower farmers' fertilizers costs by requiring price transparency and market research, promoting domestic production and competition, reducing regulatory barriers. They all create pathways, also create pathways for one of my favorite areas for biostimulants at lower cost alternatives. And I say it's bipartisan. We have leadership from Senator Thune's bill, Klobuchar, Grassley, Baldwin, Ernst, Warnock, Hyde-Smith, Padilla, in addition to Hoven's bill. And, of course, the chairman of the Ag Committee here as well is going to give us a hearing very soon. And hopefully that will be followed up by a markup on these bills so we can start lowering fertilizer prices tomorrow.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.